Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Momentum solves 80% of your problems. 80% of your problems would be solved with momentum. 80% of your business problems, 80% of your family problems. When something has got momentum, there is a lot of forgiveness around. People seem to overlook blatant problems because there's just momentum going on. And so Helen and I have really felt that this is the year of momentum, that God has brought momentum to our church. It's been building for a long time. Momentum is here. And many of us are sensing it. We're feeling it. We know that God is in the house. We know that good things are going on. Do you know, I think I could count on one hand. Actually, to be honest, I think I could count on three fingers where in a Lifehouse church service where someone hasn't given their life to Christ. In 17 years, in all honesty, someone always gives their life to Jesus in a Lifehouse church service. But we are seeing it grow more and more right across the world. We're seeing it happen in Poznan. There is momentum. God is bringing momentum. And I believe that God is bringing momentum, not just into our church, but into your family and into your life and into your business, into your health. I speak momentum into your health right now. I speak it into your marriage. I speak it into your parenting. And God is bringing momentum. But I want to show you a clip just for a moment. I'm often on YouTube just looking at people breaking world records. I just love seeing people achieve great things. And I don't know whether you saw this recently, but it was a guy called Michael O'Hearn, and he was trying to break the world record for breaking through panes of glass. Now, these are the panes of glass that they put on the outside of skyscraper buildings. These things are thick. I believe that there have been some things that have just been holding you back, and they're things that, you know, look, that glass, you can't quite see the glass, but it's there. And for some of us, you don't know what's holding you back. You can't seem to figure out what's happening in your relationships and your business, why you can't seem to get out of debt. But I believe this is the year of momentum for you, where you will just break things and shatter things that have been holding us back for years and years. Addictions need to break this year. And it's going to happen through the momentum of the Holy Spirit. There is a momentum here. Why wouldn't you get your miracle when the person beside you got theirs last week? And the person on the other side of you is probably going to get theirs the week after. Why would you miss out? You're not going to miss out. And God would say, I want to bring momentum. I thank God that I serve a God who cares, who knows our needs. He loves us. He can hear the secret prayers of our heart. He knows who we are. Thank God we don't just serve a God of religion, a God of a book. Yes, we love the Word of God, but we know the author. We don't worship the book. We worship the one who wrote it. And this is your year of momentum according to your faith, according to if that's what you believe. Now, you've heard me say that momentum is a forward-fueled motion, a forward motion that is fueled by a series of wins, going from one win to another win, and as the Bible would put it, going from strength to strength definitely brings a momentum. But here's the question. Do you ever find yourself going backwards? Pastor Richard, I thought you said this was going to be a year of momentum. I've got to be honest with you. I feel like my life is going backwards because momentum is a forward motion. But I feel like I've lost momentum. I feel like things have really slowed down. And so what do you do when you feel like you're going backwards rather than forward? My business was doing far better 2 years ago than it is today. My relationship was better 4 years ago than it is today. Sometimes I feel like I've lost momentum, not building momentum. Well, I've got some great news for you today. If you feel like you're losing momentum, if you feel like you've lost momentum, actually, let me put it this way. If you feel like you're going backwards, did you know that that is a very common thread in the Bible that you read? Thank God it is. But it is in the Word of God where things will often get much worse before they get much better. What do I mean by that? Well, I showed you that video for a reason. Because as we saw, sometimes he would run up to a pane of glass and he would, if you look at it carefully, sometimes he would just simply tap it and it would shatter. And there are going to be some things that as you pray once about it, twice about it, you're going to find that it just bang, it's gone. Wow, gee, I wish I had have known that. God broke a smoking addiction in my life in 4 days. It takes some people 4 years, but God just did it, for, boom, gone. Do you know, I used to be like as most of us before I was a Christian, you know, the F word and the that word and every other, it used to flow out of my mouth. Did you know the day I gave my life to Jesus, it just literally stopped. Bang, shattered, gone, finished. Purpose came into my life, bang, shattered. But then there have been some other things that if I'm honest with you, it's like, and it just won't come down. You've got those things. And you've talked about it and you've tried and you've got some counseling about it. You've spoken to your best friend. You've spoken to the Lord. You've even fasted. But did you notice that he did something in that video that we need to take notice of today? Did you notice that when he couldn't break through something, did he just stand there and just keep? Did he just stand there and get frustrated? Did he just stand there and get, what did he do? Come on. And we think there's something wrong with that. We think there's something wrong with going, but no, you're only going backwards because you're ready. You're ready to go forward now. You're ready to hit this thing. Why are we so afraid to go backwards sometimes? Listen, if you're going to go backwards, it's only because you're building up momentum so that you can smash through that thing once and for all. Oh, I don't want to go backwards. Well, sometimes you've got to go backwards if you want to smash things going forward. You read your Bible, you will see that God says to Moses, Moses, deliver my children out of slavery. What were they doing at the time? They were making bricks, the Bible says. And they had taskmasters who were whipping them because if they didn't make a certain quota of bricks, their life was terrible. Moses comes along and says, guys, I'm going to get you out of here. Yay, awesome. Guys, things are going to be better. Fantastic, this is awesome. Pharaoh hears of the plan and he says, these people must be lazy. You know what? Don't even give them straw to build their bricks now. Can I ask you a question? God had a plan for them to move them forward. Do things get better or worse? According to them, things got worse. Do you know what they actually said to Moses? Be quiet, get out of here. You've made our lives even worse. But Moses wasn't distracted. He said, yes, things are going to get worse for a while, but eventually you're going to be out of this place and you're not going to be making bricks at all. Do you know, they would have been happier to just have straw back into their life and still be making bricks. God's not happy with that. And for some of us, you're like, man, I don't want my marriage to get worse. I'm happy with my mediocre marriage, but I don't want it to get worse. What if God says, no, it probably needs to get a little bit worse so that it can be everything that you planned it and wanted it to be? What if your business actually gets to the place of almost becoming bankrupt so that God can actually build it the way it was supposed to be built so that it releases you? Come on, some of us just want things to be mediocre and God says, I'm not the God of mediocre. I'm the God of awesome. I'm the God of great. I'm the God of momentum. And I want to bring the real deal to you, not this fake thing. But did you know what? Those Israelites, unless they got to that place of making bricks without straw, I think they would have been happy to stay as slaves. And sometimes God says, I've got such a big plan for you, but because you're not frustrated enough yet, God says, oh, okay, I might have to turn up the heat on the frustration then. And some of us are like, God, really? God says, yeah, because I've got a plan. You're not going to be in that place for a long, long time. But for some of us, come on, you're not frustrated enough yet. You need to get to a place where you're frustrated. Okay, so your kids don't drink, they don't smoke, but they don't really love God either. And some of us are okay with that. That's not good enough for God. God says, I didn't call you to have good kids. I called you to have God kids. I called you to have children that love God with a passion, with their heart, their mind, their soul. And for some of us, it's like, but God, you can't, just leave it mediocre. And God says, I'm not the God of mediocre. So it may get a little bit worse before it gets a whole lot better. Some of you have heard about a pastor friend of mine and his son was basically on ice and they were trying to fix the problem. They were trying to fix it. And I said, guys, stop trying to fix the problem. Stop trying to fix it. Let God fix it. And they said, what does that mean? I said, it's probably, listen, these are the exact words I used. Sitting there at a grotty restaurant, and I used these words. I said, guys, it's probably going to get a whole lot worse before it gets a whole lot better. And I remember the wife saying to me, they are the most negative words I've ever heard in my life. I said, I know, but it's true. And it did get a whole lot worse to the point where the young man decided, my life is out of control. And then he checked himself in to Teen Challenge. He then made a decision to change. He is now on the road to becoming a pastor because he made the right decision. Now, they could have just been happy with the fact that maybe he only took drugs once in a while. Please just don't kill yourself. God says, no, I'm going to go from drug addict to pastor. No, that's the plan that God's got. We've got to stop being happy with your mediocre. Poke someone and say, stop being happy with mediocre. Go for momentum. Build it. Oh, my business is making a little bit of money. God says, really? Is it making enough money to help churches around the world? No. Stop being happy with mediocre. Stop being happy with that. Oh, but it pays the bills. Are you just called to pay the bills? You're supposed to have so much that when a single mum says, I need a car, you can buy it for her. That's where God wants us to be in this church. Is anyone understanding what I'm... Get used to going backwards before you go forward. Eventually, God delivered them out of slavery and they ended up in the promised land. Is anyone getting this? Do you remember when Jesus talked about the vine? And he said, I am the true vine and you guys are the branches. Do you remember? And he says, you know, sometimes my Father comes along and so that you bear more fruit, what does the Father have to do? Cut it back. Cut it. What don't we understand about the Bible? Whenever God wants more, he brings it back. When God's trying to take you forward, he takes you backwards. That's just what he does. It's going to get a whole lot. Oh, some of you are like, really? Did I come to hear this today? This is the most positive news I could give you. What I'm saying to you is God's going to make it happen with or without you. But you just need to understand the process. When you feel like you're going backwards, get ready for a huge run up to go forward because you're going to break through those things that God's trying to bring into your world. He's going to allow it. And some of us don't know the God of backwards. We're always trying to move forward. I was listening to a song today that I like, but there was no room for going backwards in that song. I thought it's not right that God's people don't know that sometimes God takes you back before you go forward. He says, I'm going to cut back the vine so that it can bear more fruit. Come on, there are some people that God's trying to cut out of your life. You think you've got your perfect circle of friends and God says, no, not really. No, some of them need to exit your life. But they're my friends, I've had them for a long time. Yeah, I know, and all they've done is put negativity into you. All they've done is talk badly about your husband. All they've ever done is make you lust after other girls. Some of these friendships haven't been good for you, but we want to hold on to them because they're whatever they are. And God says, no, if you want to go where I'm trying to take you, I've got to cut these people out of your world. So if someone has left your life just recently, stop grieving about that and say, God, what have you got planned for me? You must have something planned for me because if these people have been cut out, then we are moving forward. We've got to stop grieving over the backward process. We need to embrace it and say, come on, that man was doing it by choice because he realized that sometimes you've got to go back in order to go forward. Is anyone hearing this? You know, when it comes to your relationships, I've seen this just happen a lot today. I'm really, really honing in on relationships today, to be honest, because I need to bring some clarity to people. You know, if you've ever heard me speak on relationships, I actually did a series called 6 Ways to Completely Destroy Your Relationships. Anyone remember that series? And then I did another 3, and the next 3 were, and another 3 for complete annihilation. And it's a very popular series, but did you know point number 1 for the way to completely destroy your relationship is never be honest. Never be honest. Never tell your partner what you're really thinking. Never tell them how much they're annoying you. Never tell them how much what they do to you breaks your heart. Never tell them. But then what will happen is one day you will tell them, but it will be over by then. And I've just seen it happen recently again and again and again. Now listen, why don't people want to be honest? Because I can tell you what happens. When you're honest in a relationship, does the relationship move forward or backwards? Anyone? It goes backwards. It does. It honestly goes, and that's why we don't do it. But eventually what happens is you go backwards anyway, but there's no forward momentum. I'm saying to you, choose going backwards on purpose. Because when you're honest with your partner, yes, it breaks their heart. Yes, they get discouraged. Yes, it puts a tension on your relationship, but at least they know how you feel. And now you're basically setting yourself up for an incredible run to break that thing that has been holding your relationship back anyway. Is anyone understanding what I'm saying today? Honesty sends you backwards, but ultimately it gives you the forward momentum that we all need. Do you know, there was a guy called Gideon. Do you remember Gideon? Gideon had 32,000 soldiers ready to go win a battle. And God says, okay, so we need to win this battle, do we? Great. So this is God's strategic battle plan. Are you ready? Tell everybody who's got fear to go home. So these are all soldiers. These are men. These are men. And so Gideon says, hey, listen, God's told me if any one of you are scared and stuff, then you should go home. He was expecting three or four people to go, well, that's me. I just want to go home. 22,000 men leave him. Do you think that's moving forward to go with, remember, he has to go win a battle. Do you think Gideon will be saying, that's great, God. That's a great strategy. Thank you for that strategy. Some of us are not willing to pray prayers where once we've prayed that prayer, you go backwards. We think that's a failure. You pray a prayer, it goes backwards. Oh, I mustn't have prayed the right prayer. No, you prayed the exact prayer that you needed to pray. Yeah, yeah. God, please bless my finances. You get into debt. Did I pray the right prayer? Gideon prayed the right prayer. 22,000 people left. And God looks at him and says, still too many. God, I just need to remind you, we've got a battle to win. Like, what are you thinking? Yeah, tell the people to, you know, go drink some water, and if they lap it up with their hand, or if they drink straight there from a dog, you know, decide between the two. He's left for 300 people. From 32,000 to 300. Do you think that's going to build momentum? Don't you think Gideon would have started to think, we're going to lose this battle? And some of you right now, you're thinking, I'm going to lose this battle. You're thinking you're going to lose. But then God could see Gideon's heart, and have a look at what God does for him. In Judges chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, God says, go down to the army, this army that you're going to take on. And he says, go and have a listen. So Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley, watch, I want you to see the motion here. A loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp, and it hit a tent, and it turned it over, and it knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over the Midian and all of its allies. What's happened there? Do you know, sometimes God, in the midst of that, wants to give you a word, because when you can only see discouragement and you see backwards, what God says to you is, listen, if only you knew what the enemy was thinking about you, if only you could hear what the enemy was saying, if only you knew that the enemy are petrified, what you're scared of the battle, what you don't realize is the enemy is actually scared of you. And for many of us, you just need to get a better word. You just need a better word that God is with me in the good times, God is with me in the bad times, and I know that God is forever with me, and everything that happens, even the bad things, God is going to somehow work it together for my good. Give Jesus a huge round of applause. If only you knew. Many of us would know the story of the children of Israel. They didn't want to go up into the promised land because the giants were there, and we're going to be defeated by the giants. And so what do? They walk around a desert for 40 years because the giants are going to destroy us. By the time Joshua crosses over that river and they send two spies to the first city, Rahab, the prostitute, is there. Now remember, these spies that Moses sent, they completely discouraged the crowd because they said, oh, these giants are big. We can't win. But when Rahab talks to the spies, she says, we are petrified of you. We are so scared of you. If only Israel knew that. Here's my question to you. What do you need to know? How much do you need to know? Because I'm telling you right now, what you think is going backwards, the enemy is petrified because they know you are making a run up to go and smash something that has never been able to be smashed over your life, over generations. Things that your mum and dad did are not going to be in your life any longer. The enemy can see what's going on. And sometimes we end up with a dialogue in our head, a conversation in our head where we think we're losing. But what you don't realize is the enemy's petrified because he knows you're about to make a run up. Come on, right now, some of you feeling like you're in that backward place. Things aren't going where they're supposed to go. And maybe your marriage is awesome, but your business isn't. Maybe your health is awesome, but your children, raising children isn't. Whatever it may be, I'm telling you right now, God's bringing momentum. And sometimes to get the momentum, you just got to take a run up. Poke the person beside you and say, take a run up. Take a run up. Take a run up. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist had momentum. Remember that? Who was the person who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. The Bible says he was baptizing people in the Jordan. He was preaching sermons to the Romans. He was on fire. John was on fire. Jesus comes one day to the Jordan, and what does John say about him? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And remember, the dove comes and everything. It's awesome, right? How many of you feel like John would have been nailing it? He'd be like, man, I'm the man. I just declared, like, man, momentum. I think he wrote a book called Momentum. Momentum, John the Baptist and the hairy coat. Now, he would have felt like he was on fire, don't you think? And then one day, the Bible says he sends his disciples to Jesus with a very interesting question. And this was the question that John's disciples asked Jesus. Jesus, John wants to know, are you the Messiah, or is there another one to come? What happened to John? What happened to John that he is now asking that question? Well, I can tell you very simply, he was in prison. He was in prison. And he's thinking, hang on a minute, this isn't momentum. I was supposed to be a prophet that runs around all of Israel proclaiming that I was the one that declared Jesus. I'm not supposed to be in prison. Why is Jesus doing miracle signs and wonders everywhere, but he won't deliver me? Have I done something wrong? Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe Jesus is not the Messiah. See, when you're in a prison, you start to doubt everything. You start to doubt the word that God gave you. You only doubt your relationship. Did I marry the right person? Not during the good times, it's only in the backward times. Is that true? You only start to doubt your purpose and your calling when the doubt creeps in. Not when you're in Bali and everything's great and you're chin-chinning together. That's not when you start to doubt anything. It's those difficult times, it's the hard times. That's when you start to doubt. John the Baptist was doubting. So what did Jesus do to help John? He says, listen, go back and tell John, the blind are seeing, the dead are being raised, ears are being opened. He quoted the word from Isaiah. He quoted the word. And when you've got a season of doubt going on because you're in the backward stage, you just need to get the word of God into your spirit. You need to get a better word. You need to understand that God has got a plan for you. Come on, momentum. Everybody wants momentum. Nobody wants to go backwards. You know, sometimes Helen and I, we travel a fair bit and you'll see the aeroplane is right at the, right. Maybe sometimes in the middle or maybe right at the end of the runway. But I'm really thankful that the pilot doesn't go, you know what? I can't be bothered going all the way down there. You know what? I'm just going to turn the plane left right now. And then all of a sudden crank up the engines. And then he's trying to get down this runway, but there's just not enough space. And so all of a sudden the plane crashes down the hill and explodes and flames. And how many of you are glad that the pilot doesn't do that? That the pilot says, you know what? We may need to go backwards, turn the plane around and get a good run up so that we can get some momentum so that we can get up into it. How many of you are glad that planes do that? Anyone glad that planes do that? And God would say to you, but can I do that with your life? No, I just want to turn left onto the runway, and with just that little bit of runway, I want to get flight. And God says, well, sometimes it just can't happen that way. Sometimes you're going to need to go backwards before we can go forward so that I can give you the flight that you need so I can get you to where you're trying to go. You may lose all your friends before you find the right ones. But I want friends. Yeah, not those ones. Those ones are going to drag you down your whole life and you're never going to reach your destiny. Sorry. You may lose every one of them. There have been some people in this room and you've experienced divorce. Now listen, I'm not advocating for that. I'm not saying that divorce is like a great backwards, but it is a backwards. But it's not the end of the road. Please stop thinking it's the end of the road for you. Please stop thinking, therefore I can't serve God, therefore I can't sing, therefore I can't be a part of. No. You've gone backwards, no doubt about it, whether it was your fault or someone else's. But can't God still use it to set you off on a great runway so that you can still achieve your dream and maybe find the next person, the right person? Come on, it's not the end of the road. But people lock themselves into, well, things are going backwards, and because you don't believe this, you keep going backwards and you don't get the momentum that you're supposed to have. Is anyone getting something out of this? I love this. Let me tell you the ultimate going backwards that we need to do on purpose. See, so far I've been talking about the going backwards in a negative sense, that things have gone negatively for you, and I'm saying to you, God can still use that. Amen? But you know, sometimes you've got to do it on purpose. What do I mean by that? Do you know, if you're feeling a bit discouraged, like sometimes I'll be standing on the front row, and I've shared this many times where, you know, the enemy will say to me, you know what? You've got no right to get up there and preach. You've got no right to get up here and cause momentum into people. Do you know, the enemy talks like that to me. Do you know what I've got to do sometimes? I've got to go backwards on purpose. What do I mean by that? I've got to go back and say, hang on a minute. Didn't God so love the world? Didn't God so love the world? I'm a part of that world. Didn't Jesus bleed and die for me? Yeah. Didn't he cleanse me of all my sin? Absolutely he did. Aren't I now filled with the Holy Spirit? Aren't I now anointed of God? Aren't I now, don't I now have the gospel in my mouth? Aren't I someone that God can still use regardless of all my faults and failings? Come on, we've got to sometimes go backwards on purpose and remember all the things that God has done for us. Give yourself some momentum. Do it on purpose. Remind yourself. I remember some of you have heard my story of I shared it just recently, how someone spoke negative words over me and you guys, the church. That's what hurt me the most. Someone spoke negative words over me. And this church is going to collapse in 12 months, they said, and because there's sin in the camp and God's not with this church anymore. And not that I believed them, but I heard those words, but I didn't address them. I didn't address them. And so what you don't realize is it goes in like a cancer. Right? And it was unaddressed. And so it began to do its work in me and I began to lose momentum. Now, some of you have heard the story that I'm like, wow, so what do I do here? And maybe this is going to, and I began to, some of you have heard a negative word and it's stunting your momentum. So what did I have to do? Some of you know, I went into my office, which was the disabled toilet. True story. Went there and I sat there. Did you know what I had to remind myself of? I had to remind myself that when I was in third year Bible college, when I was in third year Bible college, I opened up the Word of God one day and I began to read Acts 26. It's going to be up on the screen. I read this scripture one day. It says, and the Lord also said, so this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I will protect you from the Jews and I'm going to protect you from the Gentiles that I'm sending you to. Thank you, Father. I want you to open their eyes, Richard, so that they will turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then their sins will be forgiven, and by faith in me, they will become a part of God's holy people. God spoke that scripture into my spirit, third year Bible college, and God said to me, what I told Paul to do, Richard, I am telling you to do. So I have held on to that scripture for 30 years. Seriously, I opened it up. And God has been speaking to me through. So did you know what I did when I sat there in my office? Do you know what I did? I had to remind myself of that scripture. Now, you may think, oh, but you know, that was just, why? Why would you remind yourself? Because watch this. When I was being ordained as a minister, right? So, you know, you, as an official minister of Lifehouse, this is like 3 years in. I remember my good friend, Pastor John Spinella, was the person who was praying for me. Now, I get up on stage, Pastor John makes me kneel down. Some of you were there for that day. I kneel down. He says, Richard, I'm speaking a scripture over your life that God put on my heart. And of all the scriptures in the Bible, of all of them, he speaks that scripture over my life. Right? And some of you have seen the video of that. It's ugly. It's ugly. Ugly tears. Because it's like, God, I got it right. I did hear you. I did hear you. So when I was in my little office there, what do you think I reminded myself of? I backed up. Are you hearing me? I backed up and I went, hang on a minute. Is there any truth to what this man is saying? Well, you know what? I remember when I was in Bible college, God spoke that word over my life. I remember that Pastor John Spinella came to our church and spoke that same word over my life. Actually, since we started the church, that's the very thing that's been happening in many, many people's lives. And I backed up on purpose. By the time I came out of the toilet, momentum! Momentum. I'm serious. I came out of that toilet and I went, get out of here. That I reject that word. This church is going to go forward. It's going to buy buildings. We're going to plant campuses around the world. You need a better word. Some of you need a better word. You need to get the Spirit of God to come and speak those things. Come on, you've had prophecies over your life. You need to go back so that you can get the momentum. Some of you have read scriptures of God's promise and you've forgotten them. And God would say, come on, you need to go back to get your momentum so that you can get flight, you can get takeoff. Come on. I think the ultimate example of going backwards to go forward is our Savior. He is Jesus. Mountaintops, thousands of people, people hanging off every word he says. Miracles, signs and wonders and on top of the world. And then one day he preaches a message about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Anyone remember that sermon? Yeah, not one of his best sermons apparently. We love it today, but they didn't love it back then. And the Bible says all the crowds left him. Every one of them, all the crowds left him. And he was just left with his disciples. Oh, that's okay, he's still got his disciples. No, the religious decide, come on, let's crucify this guy. And as they capture him, even his 12 run away. And his best friend says, I don't know him. How many of you would agree that's going backwards from where he once was to now? But it gets worse. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head and they whip his back. That's going backwards. And they don't stop there. Now they spit on him. They kick him. And then they crucify him. They nail nails in his hands, spear in his side. That's going backwards. Would you agree? Finally, he dies. You can't get any more backwards than that. He's dead. But apparently not. Because 3 days later, he pays the price for your sin and my sin. And he comes out of the grave with momentum. He explodes that rock from one place to another. He comes out triumphant. He is now seated at the right hand of God. My sins are forgiven. I have a purpose. Jesus is in my life because momentum came through the blood of Jesus. And now your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. All because he was willing to go back so that he could go forward for you and for me.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.